You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
We at Good Cop, Bad Cop are very sad to hear the passing of WWE Hall of Famer Howard Finkel at the age of 69. By all accounts, he was in very bad health, and in the past year he had suffered a serious stroke. Doesn't make it any better, of course. This is the man who made his debut in WWE in 1977 at Madison Square Garden and was a mainstay for decades. A lot of things you can say about Howard Finkel. He had a tuxedo match with Harvey Whippleman in 95. He helped X-Pac shave Jeff Jarrett's hair in a Hair with His Hair match in 1998. I also remember him taking part in a tuxedo with his evening gown match with Lillian Garcia on the Raw after SummerSlam in 2002. Howard, you will be missed. You always brought a smile to our faces. Our thoughts with your family. Rest in peace, sir.
This is Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 86. I'm grumpy cop right now, Matt. I've just been doing some virtual meetings online. My head is killing me. I had a splitting headache after the first one, and then the second one that went on for nearly an hour and a half. You told me we had a cold opening. I just said, what was it? And you was like, I don't know. I have no idea what it was. All I do know is for sure is that you won the bragging rights poll this week, which I was pretty sure you wouldn't do anyway. I actually thought I did pretty well to get 38% to 62%. As far as I can tell, that's the second most number of votes we've ever had either. So we had a good response to it, and I thought we would. With it being WrestleMania, obviously a lot of people had opinions about it, so good to see people talking to us again and interacting with us. We always like that.
Bad.
I am not sure who went first last week, but after that bad cop meeting, I would like to hear some good cop moments about wrestling. So take it away, sir.
Good.
Okay, first thing is Alexa Bliss. Now, Alexa Bliss is someone who is a big, who's a big fan favorite in your house, Graham. I know Jackson loves her. You love her. Mason's quite a big fan of her as well. Yeah. I like her. She's absolutely amazing. Obviously, she's now a two-time women's tag team champion, and the first, I think, was she the first person? No, she's second person to win the Grand Slam. She responded this week to Ronda Rousey's very volatile comments that she made. I'm not going to repeat the comments because they're out there. She used an F word that we don't use on this show. Fake. We don't use that word in wrestling. Predetermined, we call it, because it is predetermined, but that's fine. Alexa Bliss, if I'm going to paraphrase slightly, because I've got it right in front of me, she basically said to Ronda, we made her acceptable, and we like working with her. If I get a chance to work with her again, that would be great, sort of thing. She didn't run Ronda down. She was actually really nice. She was positive the whole way through, which was a good comment. She could have gone on Twitter and lambasted like lots of other people have done, and lots of other people have done that, Graham. We've seen that on our Twitters. She wasn't. She was nothing but complimentary about it. So if it's a shoot promo, Alexa dealt with it nicely. If it's just trying to play us, if Ronda just trying to play us for a storyline reason, and it's not having at the popularity it could be, Alexa set up a storyline quite nicely.
Now, although I'm only an American resident, not an American citizen, I'm going to take the Fifth Amendment right now for for reasons that will become obvious later in the show.
I don't know all the amendments, so go ahead. What's this one about? Pigs or bacon or something, is it? I don't know.
You asked me what the Fifth Amendment is?
Yeah.
It's the one where you refuse to comment for because you might incriminate yourself. So it's basically the one where you're not going to say anything. So I'm not going to say anything right now. I'm gonna assume, and unless you wanted to jump back in, I'm just gonna let you play your good cop moment all by yourself right now.
That's fine.
All right, so I'm gonna go to my good moment. And I want to talk about Impact Wrestling. I didn't need to check with you this week because I knew I was pretty safe in that being my good cop moment. Lots of things. Love the whole show, to be honest. Now they of course have the advantage that they filmed this ahead of time, so they still have a crowd, which is kind of nice to see wrestling with a crowd again, and you get the interactions and the high fives with the wrestlers and the fans and all that stuff. Lots of different moments from this one. I'm going to start off with the first one I saw this morning when I woke up. Johnny Swinger versus Mike Jackson. Now, I know you have an encyclopedic memory, Matt. Are you familiar with Mike Jackson?
Naming the bell, but couldn't tell you from where. Might have flipped my head.
All right, so I'm going to tell you what the caption said on the YouTube video as well. I watched this. 70-year-old Mike Jackson lights it up versus Johnny Swinger. Now, on MGB, we talked to Ethan Cross recently, and he said his aim was to wrestle into his 70s. And we kind of was a little incredulous about that. We're like, yeah, that's kind of old. That's like grandpa. Like, there's no way. This guy did. He totally lit it up. He was doing all the tricks. Somebody described him as looking more like a 20-year-old than a 70-year-old. Somebody commented, is that the same Mike Jackson that used to job back in the 60s against the Midnight Express? I don't know. He's been around a long time. I don't think he's been around quite since the 60s, but it's amazing to see. Now, obviously, we have seen many people who, I guess the ages don't mean as much now. Like AJ Styles in his 40s, perfect. Okay, Undertaker's in his 50s. Rock and Roll Express still do a pretty good job in their 60s, and we talked about that on the BTW review this week as well. I didn't think I would ever be commenting about a 70-year-old in the ring and how much of a show they put on. Great to see. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. Madison Rayne, fantastic on commentary as well. She did some great heel work, mocking him in the sort of genre of Corey Graves, but she did a great job doing that over there. Tennille Dashwood versus Taya Valkyrie. Now, the thing I liked about this, I don't watch a lot of Impact. I certainly don't watch it live. I watch the clips on YouTube. Like, they do the four-minute sections for each match, which, from fine, plenty. If you watch them all, probably about 30 minutes, and you're in and out, and you've got everything. The camera work, I don't know if I just not noticed this in previous weeks. One of the things I liked, when they were running from corner to corner, they actually filmed on the diagonal. Now, I remember Mason last year and I, when we were watching Wolfram, we didn't actually like that. It looked great watching it from this one. They also had the camera that went up in the air as well. A superplex from the corner. They've zoomed up, so you were focusing on Taya Valkyrie's face, and then as the suplex is happening, the camera's being raised, but also pointed downwards, so you could see it. They have some very innovative camera angles, and I really enjoyed watching the wrestling far more than probably what I did watching WWE. So if it's something I've missed before, that's on me. You know me. I don't always pick up on things straight away, but for this week, it really resonated with me. The ending of the match, Taya Valkyrie started to get a little hardcore. She's bringing in chairs. Jordynne Grace comes to the rescue as well. You know I love that women's division anyway. This only further proved it to me. And other matches, Ace Austin versus Trey Miguel. How Trey Miguel didn't get in the top 500 on PWI last year, I will never understand. Thoroughly entertaining match from them. And one of my big criticisms often of WWE is repeat matches. Like, how are they putting the same person up against this person over and over? The North against Falabar and TJP, or they were squaring off again in the ring. This has been going for months. I'm still interested in it. So I don't know what they're doing, but they're managing to keep my entertainment, even though they're basically putting out the same thing over and over again. Top to bottom, I had a great time watching Impact Wrestling, and I can't say that for all the wrestling that I watched this week.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
Okay. Looks like you're taking the fifth as well. I'm going to guess you didn't see any of that action at all.
I didn't watch it all, but based on what you said, I am going to go back and watch it all.
They teased it because they said they were bringing out M. Jackson. Now, there was no way he was leaving AEW, but they were correct. It was, unfortunately, it was Mike and not Matt, but it was still worth watching. All right, give us your million short moments in your speed check then.
Right, okay. Drew McIntyre's chop to Austin Theory. The way that Austin Theory sold that chop on Monday Night Raw, Haven't seen that soul, a tropical like that in nearly 20 years. That's fantastic. Corey Gray back on commentary. Never thought I'd say those words.
Happy. Was on. Sorry?
On SmackDown. Very happy he was back. I'm very happy he was back. The other triple threat match for the SmackDown tag titles is coming this week on SmackDown. Cannot wait to see the other Uso, Miz, and Big E. Unlikely to be a change of titles, but if they did, that would have been impromptu. I've had a few to plan this one. Who knows what to see at this one? It's great. Bayley throwing Sasha Banks under the bus to avoid Tamina. I love that. Because it's going to, like you said, finally going to get that turn. It's just more and more turning of the screw. Please, please. Forgotten Sons debuting on SmackDown. Very good to see. Forgotten Sons. Let's hope we don't go the same way as Sandy did. And my last thing is from EWA.
Ah, I haven't had a chance to watch those yet.
In that, I saw something which was released on Facebook Watch.
Well, if one that features Drew Gulak, you can talk about it because I've already seen it because I actually alerted them to it and they'd forgotten about it. I found the clip of it and several months ago I said, oh, this is great, tag them in it. And they were like, oh, we'd forgotten about this.
Drew Gulak and Adam Cole.
Hey, babe.
Before he was Adam Cole, of course, in the parking lot of a car dealership. Go and watch it, guys. It's out on Facebook Watch right now, which means it's free to watch. And it's stuff you probably haven't seen before. So go and watch it and follow it EWA and watch more of their stuff.
And if you're looking for stuff to do as well, go check out Matt's interview with EWA star Eel O'Neill from a few weeks back as well. Thanks. Now, my first thing I was going to talk about was actually originally my good cop moment until I watched Impact Wrestling. Drew McIntyre, he's actually, although WrestleMania is over a week gone now, still getting the headlines, particularly in England specifically and in Scotland as well. I'm going to cut this shorter as it's a speed cop moment. The Sunday Mail in Scotland, they put out a big piece about him making history. TMZ, which really surprised me as well, America's channel, they were mentioning the fact that he was thanking The Rock for giving him, believing in his potential. And quite a few other magazines, Guardian newspaper, King of the Ring, Britain's Larger Than Life Wrestler. And where this is all starting to lead to is as well, the Times reported that he's actually being, his odds have shortened for the Sports Personality of the Year. Now, admittedly, there's not so much sport going on this year. His odds have gone from 100 to 1 to 40 to 1. And it says that he's really happy that he's being mentioned in the same sentence as Tyson Fury, Jordan Henderson, and Joe Wicks. So I think that's going to be good. Even though it's...
I need a moment. Oh, dear.
I wouldn't necessarily think of Joe Wicks as a sports person. His actual Twitter handle is at the body coach. So he's doing PE teaching for kids in England right now while they're not in school.
Who would put Jordan Henderson on that list? Seriously.
And as a Liverpool fan, I think people noticed Liverpool started losing games once he got injured, actually. He's very underappreciated.
I was joking, Graham.
Okay. But the point of it being a good cop moment is whatever comes out of this, even if there is less sport than normal, WWE is getting a higher profile and Drew McIntyre is getting a higher profile. I'm not sure. I wasn't sure originally how well people would respond to being champion. People are responding very positively to it in England and abroad, and I think that's only a good thing. My shorter good cop moment is I bought a promo magazine for WrestleMania 27 this week, something just to show the boys while we're reading. Anyway, we started reading through all the different WrestleManias. We looked where they all were on a map. We did all that stuff. We did the review for WrestleMania 1 and 2, and after it, Jackson asked me, he's like, Daddy, he's like, can we watch all the WrestleManias on TV? Like, you bet we can. What a good cop moment. I have the coolest six-year-old. He wants to watch all 35. He said, we already watched 36. I was like, yes, we did. So we got 35 WrestleManias that we're going to watch at some point. And he told me he'd like to review them all as well. So big kid, little kid could be coming back quicker than I thought.
And the good thing about it is, Graham, is when it gets to number 35, you can say, I was there.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, bonus points if you can find me in the crowd there, Jackson. Go ahead. Where's Waldo?
might have looked myself once or twice.
Right, guys, as you all know, that you can get 30 days free with the code GoodCopBadCop on PowerFlam.tv. However, don't forget there is an app you can get from both the iOS and the Google Play stores. However, to get the code, you must go onto the website to use it. Otherwise, you will not get the discount. Once you've done that, go back to the app and you can watch your heart's content. 30 days free, code GoodCopBadCop.
Bad!
All right, now I believe, because my meeting actually overran a little bit, I believe there were some last minute changes going on, and this might actually have improved the accuracy of this. So, we are recording a day earlier today as well. We recorded Thursday the last few weeks, so this is Wednesday. Well, let's see your updated bad cop moment.
Bad!
I actually messaged into the VUN group chat, and also onto the 7th Discord chat, which Graham's not in because he doesn't actually use Discord, which he really should, but that's beside the point. This is possibly the hardest good cop, bad cop I've ever had to record. Because this is something where I've actually got a report on some actual news that's been breaking this afternoon, if you're in America, and this evening, if you're in England. As of today, WWE has released from its contract, from their contracts, the following superstars and officials: Drake Maverick, Kurt Hawkins, Karl Anderson, Luke Gallows, Heath Slater, Aiden English, Eric Young, EC3, Leo Rush, Kurt Angle, Sarah Logan, Mike Yoda, Primo and Epico, Eric Rowan, Mike Kanellis, and just before this section started, Maria Kanellis was confirmed as well. Those people have all been released from their contracts. The following people have been furloughed, not released. They've either backstage people who've been furloughed and be brought back once the pandemic is over: Dave Fit Finley, Lance Storm, Mike IRS Rotunda, Shane Hurricane Helms, Scott Armstrong, Pat Buck, Sarah Stock, Sean Daivari, and Billy Kidman. According to sources, these last ones have been followed, not released entirely, but a very, very sad day to see that many people cut. People calling it Black Wednesday on Twitter right now. And I'm not repeating some of the things that people were putting out on Twitter about the company, but times are really bad at the moment, and some of the people there aren't getting TV time, even when the shows were not at the Performance Center. I'm surprised that it took them this long to release some of them. I'll be brutally honest. Very sad. I just don't know what else to say, Graham.
Now, I got to admit, I was looking through my notes ahead because I noticed that my bad cop moment is actually very similar. Did you actually say Gallows and Anderson?
Yes.
Okay, that must have been when I was looking across at that very second. The question I was going to ask you, as we're in the bad cop section, and I'm going to be bad cop right now, how many of those are you actually going to miss from the people who've been released?
I need to go back to the list quite quickly, then. Sorry.
My count is two. And it's the two people I just mentioned. Besides them, everybody else, I'm not particularly going to miss them, I don't think.
Actually, they're two I can't wait to get back off. I'll be brutally honest. They were adding nothing to AJ's character, and they were doing nothing for themselves. My own personal opinion. I personally not bored about them. I personally, because I enjoyed their work more, Heath Slater and Drake Maverick. Especially having seen the video Drake Maverick put out on Twitter, I was in tears.
Okay, all right. For most of those people, we know the roster's pretty bloated.
Of course,
we needed some people. It's unfortunate it's happening right now. Obviously,
of course. I was actually watching Coldaholic YouTube channel, they did a doing a live stream and they were reporting it as it was going along. And when they do a live stream for YouTube, you know, they have a live chat, obviously, and people are typing into it. And I'm going to tack this onto the bad cop because I can't believe people were, and bearing in mind, Adam Pacitti was doing the actual thing. He actually had to tell, he was just saying, please don't put in the chat people who haven't gone, because this is not a joke. This is people's livelihood that we're talking about here. People putting in there like, Roman Reigns is gone, John Cena is gone, The Undertaker is gone. But then, so those ones weren't believable. But then there was actual believable ones like Kairi Sane, Io Shirai, actual people who were believable in there. And I'm like, can you guys? I know this is a bad time. We like to make jokes and stuff, but now is not the time. It's a bad cop moment for them because they thought it was a good time to make fun and games. No, not time for fun and games. And if anyone listening to our voices right now thought that the staying open was a bad thing, you know, people got their opinions about if to stay open or not is a good thing or not. You know, unfortunately, we knew. There were going to be cuts made. This is not exactly out of the blue. It's a little bit out of the blue that it's this many. But, yeah. It's not like it's top of the card people. These are people who are lengthening under the mid to upper mid card. Most of them, hopefully, they'll all find work because they're all good workers. And when the companies start up again, when things start to get lifted, maybe some of them will be hired back. I mean, bearing in mind, Luke Gallows, prime example of that one on that list. Luke Gallows left the company and was hired back. Others could come back at some point in the future. Kurt Angle famously walked out of a company back in 2006, walked back in 3 or 4 years ago. Just because they've gone now doesn't mean it's the end for them. But yeah, I'm going to feel depressed. I'll keep talking about this, Graham.
I'm going to give you one more question. AEW, who said that they were not just going to hire people who had been let go on WWE, of those people that you mentioned, what percentage do you think are going to sign for AEW within the next 6 months?
The people on that list, of which there is 18 people.
Okay.
One.
You only think one of the 18 will join AEW?
I think only one of them will join AEW, mainly because...
In that case, then, Cody is true to his word, then.
The reason for that is because, Graham, AEW are in the same position as WWE right now.
They are right now. Perhaps 6 months was a wrong number to pick, then.
They can't exactly go hiring people right now because they've got nowhere to show them. I mean, they don't block bookings. They're staying at home right now. They can't hire anyone right now. And bearing in mind, WWE have got the Saudi Arabia deal. They've got the Fox money. They've got the money to keep themselves going, sort of thing. They haven't really got the money to be paying these people who need new contracts.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with you. I know Tony Khan's got a lot more money than Vince McMahon does. People like Sarah Logan, because I remember looking at those figures, she was only on like $80,000 a year. He could easily stockpile people like that. I know the male athletes certainly get a lot more. But even then, I don't think any of those are necessarily over $1 million a year. I think he could afford to not that he would, but he could sign 18 people for a year at less than $1 million each. I think he could afford to do that if he wanted to. But I don't think he would necessarily do that right now. All right, I'm going to move on to my bad cop moment because it kind of links in. And it was actually the XFL declaring bankruptcy. This is kind of a short one because I think people would know the story as well because this is from Monday. Kevin Seifer on ESPN reported that XFL's parent company filed for Chapter 11. The first business day after the league suspended, that would be Tuesday, operations and laid off almost all of its employees. Clearly, this is bad for anyone involved in the XFL. But the question was going to be, what does this mean for the WWE? Now, I'm going to go with not how I intended this originally. So What I was thinking was, I hadn't thought of this, is if they're laying all these people off for XFL, clearly they'll do the same for WWE. He cares more about profit than he does about people. And you talked about how much money is it going to save. I think the figure quoted was only $4 million originally. So you can see there are some low salaries in there. It talked about a potential profit of over $160 million. So I'm not quite sure where that figure's coming from. There's obviously big differences between those two. My question originally was going to be to you, Matt, is as Vince has shut down the XFL, because that was kind of his baby for this year, what does that mean for the WWE in terms of their programming? That's going to give him more time to actually focus on WWE, which I think is probably a bad cop moment, right?
When he's back against the wall, he does the best stuff, Graham. But we do know this, especially WrestleMania. He obviously had a big hand in WrestleMania, and whether people liked one or two matches on the card, we talked about last week, even to last week's episode, for our opinions on that, it was a creative success overall.
Well, I couldn't argue with that. He definitely had to give some power over to other people because he couldn't physically run WWE, NXT. I know Hunter's mainly that person. XFL. He had to give some power over to other people, and it does make me think that he's going to have more time to focus on WWE. Right now, it's probably academic because obviously wrestling is slowing down and not stopped yet. We'll have to see how that works out. But certainly a potential bad cop moment for me, I think, in the future. First of all, obviously, for all the people that lost their jobs with the XFL, and kind of a shame in many ways, because it was actually, I heard a lot of people say very positive things about it, and he never really got the chance this time. But yeah. We will have to see. All right, we spent a long time talking about the negative stuff. Let's get this speed stuff out of the way, and then we can move on to something, perhaps not good, but we can move on to something in between a little bit. Let's leave this negativity behind after this segment.
I'll do my best, Graham. But the first
with 100 one.
Huh?
Is this the one with 100 short ones?
No, that was Raw. This is meant to be my main bad cop moment. Jerry Lawler.
Ah.
Graham's heard about this, I'm pretty sure.
Possibly.
If you've been living under a rock, Jerry Lawler's racist comments on live Monday Night Raw commentary. A ramen noodle moonsault. Wrong on how many levels? Least of which is it was a senton, not a moonsault. So that's the least of the problems wrong with that conversation. If you want to know how bad this is and what the point of view of it is, it was edited out of the Hulu version and the YouTube clip, which says it all. About it all. Jerry Lawler, time to retire, mate. Sorry, I've been saying this for a while, Graham, but this is proof that he should not be near the microphone right now. Okay, other ones I've got for him.
Can I chip in quickly?
I
thought the main reason you were going to say that this was, if you need evidence, was he was defended by Jim Cornette. I thought that was going to be your number one reason. I was kind of surprised you didn't mention that.
I don't know. I blocked Jim Cornette. I have no idea. I don't see his stuff. I block it.
I don't follow him on Twitter, but people talk about him. You're allowed to read people's... Have you blocked the word Cornette? So if anyone's tweet involves the word Cornette, does that mean you don't see that?
No, but people I clearly follow don't talk about it on their Twitter feed because it's not been coming up. So I haven't seen it. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. Viking Raiders are back on Raw this week, but they botched the finish badly. I don't know if you saw it, Graham, but they did do their finisher well. And Lana Lashley looking rocky. Why did they bowl this storyline then? Seriously. Graham shrugging his shoulders. Speed check done. Your turn, Graham.
All right, I want to start with one I missed. Corey Graves on commentary. Otis is the perfect example of why you never mix business with your personal life. I was looking through my notes. I was like, how did I not read that one out last week? I totally forgot about that one. That has to be mentioned. I watched the Edge documentary this week. Really good. That's not the bad cop moment. I'm kind of surprised, though, they left in the edit the guy from the Revival in there, particularly how much he helped the Edge. The fact that, obviously, Beth Phoenix can't pick up and slam easily someone who's 6'4", 240 pounds. And Edge was very positive. I'm saying remember the Revival. Was it Dash Wilder? I'm sure you've seen the documentary. I think it was Dash.
I haven't seen it yet.
But I was kind of surprised they left that in the edit. They obviously knew they were letting them go, and then they released that documentary like a week later, and they left it in. I don't know. It doesn't make much sense. You'd want to release somebody who is as positive as that. Anyway, never mind.
In the past, you don't mean, I'm not you, they have in the past done stuff like, we've done like interviews and have had afterwards like Jim Ross, former WWE announcer, on the actual thing. So it's not uncommon. Continue.
But they obviously knew when they were releasing it, and they obviously knew when they were releasing them. It just seemed very strange timing. They could have edited that segment out, and it wouldn't have lost anything. But anyway. At Solo Darling, a man walking his dog on a leash at an off-leash park just kicked Officer Magnum. That's more a WTF moment, but anyway.
What?
Several wrestlers have already agreed to go and take out the guy who did that. But she's had plenty of support, and quite right. At Sugar Dunkerton, you ever witnessed the tweet that makes someone unbookable at a high level? If you haven't, allow me to provide an example. I look forward to him deleting this only to be haunted by the screenshots. This is from somebody I don't actually know. This is at Marcius Pitt, April 13th. Hey, indie wrestling, it's not coronavirus's fault that your income has ceased and you find yourself in financial difficulties. It's your fault that you weren't adult enough to establish a backup plan. Life throws curveballs, adapt and swing away, or don't. I know we've seen similar things with Braun Strowman. Somebody else responded to this. I lost my job too, so what's he telling me? I should have a backup job, so when my first job was gone, I'd still have a job. Obviously, it doesn't make any sense at all. And at JAE Finley 13, I'll donate my left testicle to science pre-death if this guy didn't grow up privileged and entitled. Middle class or higher, guaranteed. And he confirmed later, somebody DM'd him and said that Marcius Pitt was receiving money from his parents. So clearly a bad cop moment. He obviously didn't learn anything. But somebody said, well, perhaps he saw Braun Strowman do it and he can suddenly get a title shot on a title. So perhaps he thought he'd do the same. Bad cop moment as far as I'm concerned.
I fully agree, Graham.
Bad.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Bad.
Good. All right, we talked about what was clearly on the good and the bad. Anything you're unsure about this week?
Unsure?
Well, it's... Going to start, sound like I'm talking about a bad cop. It's not, okay? It's not a bad cop. People have got their opinion about WWE still doing live shows at the Performance Center. They've gone back a lot doing live shows. People have got their opinions about that, and they're entitled to have their opinions, whether it be right or wrong, okay? I've got the opinion of if everyone's safe, then that's fine, but there's no guarantee on that. So, you know, I'm a little uneasy about it, but... I am going to watch the product because it is entertaining at least. Now, the problem I have is I'm unsure why people, and this is why it's unsure, I'm unsure why people are having a go at WWE for this, but not at AEW or Impact for doing them. Because Impact have gone to a closed set to do stuff. AEW have done the same thing, but no one's going to go at them.
They're the new company. They're still in the honeymoon period. They get cut. They get cut more. Like, I'm not saying that's justifiable. I'm telling you why it's happening.
I'm saying, what about Impact then, Graham?
Well, they're pre-recording.
They're still doing it. They're still doing pre-recorded stuff at AEM closed set. If WWE shouldn't be doing it, then it's the same for everybody, is what I'm saying. I'm unsure why people are taking just pot shots at Vince, possibly deservedly so. But you shouldn't be taking pot shots at one and not at the other. There's an old English phrase, Graham. I think you know it well. Don't throw stones in glass houses. I'll keep that fairly short because I've got quite a few unsure moments to go in my speed check. So,
Wow, we have uncanny parallels this week then. Now, the reason I had to plead the fifth earlier is I'm very unsure. At the end of the day, I was just like, beat these fans, dude. My family loves me and they appreciate me and I want all my energy to go into them. I don't see any problem with that at all. I think that's perfectly reasonable. She made way more money, I'm sure, in UFC than she did in WWE. I think that's perfectly reasonable, and I'm not sure why people would begrudge her that at all, particularly if she's been getting grief. Yeah, why would you? Why would you put your body on the line like that? She's perfectly entitled with the money that she's made and the status she's earned to go and retire, do whatever she wants, no problem at all. I'm still unsure, though. I'm not sure it's heel, if it's not heel work, Matt. I know other people talked about it as well. You only got to listen to her theme tune, which I think we heard live from Joan Jett at WrestleMania, and she doesn't give a damn about her bad reputation. So I don't know. Is she playing into character, or is that really Ronda? I'm still a little bit unsure, but I like the fact that it's blurred. I actually picked up a quote from Lana, actually. I have no words for audacity to say fake fighting. If it's fake, why can't Paige, TJ Wilson wrestle anymore? If it's fake, why couldn't Edge wrestle for 11 years? This is a contact sport where real things happen. So Lana was, how do we know those two aren't in cahoots as well? I'm pretty sure both of those people were on the Divas show. So they might have talked up, hey, Ronda says, hey, look, I'm going to say something negative. To make it seem more realistic, you got to fire something back. I don't know. I'm still a little unsure on this. But if that is Ronda's feelings, I don't see why anyone would have a problem with that. I would love to see her back in the ring. But if she wants to be with her family and not getting grief, I can understand that.
Fair enough. WWE actually put out today, actually, on their YouTube channel, Nia Jax versus Ronda Rousey on the Money in the Bank preview stuff. Because obviously they've got building up the Money in the Bank. They're showing Money in the Bank matches.
They're going to film that behind closed doors. I think that was the one that was cancelled in Baltimore.
It is, yeah. But because they're building up to that event, they start showing previous matches from the events. And so Nia versus Ronda Rousey was from a couple of years ago. And it was good, obviously. I enjoyed it. So I'm saying, but if WWE didn't want to do a Ronda, they wouldn't be showing it particularly, would they?
I would have to admit, and I said so on the Badlands podcast, she is one of my favourite wrestlers for sure.
Absolutely. I severely doubt that they would show WrestleMania 21 for Money in the Bank ladder match because they had a Mr. Benoit in it. So, exactly.
Probably move on to your speed check, I think.
Okay, speed check time. Right, okay. I haven't finished it yet. I apologise about that. But this week's MGB. Right, okay. Luchador, Graham. Luchador, you got this wrong. Luchador does not mean masked wrestler. Luchador is just the Spanish translation of fighter. Anyone who is Mexican is a luchador. And Angel Garza is Mexican. There was a luchador at WrestleMania this year, Graham. You are wrong. Okay, Too Sweet is a click thing. Started in the mid-90s, backstage between Scott Hall, now known as X-Pac, Kevin Nash, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels. When they went to WCW, they were doing the Too Sweet thing basically as a hello to Triple H all the time, part of the NWO. And then it was adopted by the Bullet Club in Japan. It originally was a WWE thing back in behind the scenes in the mid-90s. Bit hefty for you. And James Ellsworth, never WWE champion, Graham. Where did you get that from?
Was he a Universal champion then?
James Ellsworth has never held championship gold in WWE.
It said title change.
He pinned AJ Styles a couple of times, never for a championship.
I'm going to claim that Cage Match was wrong on this then, because I'm sure it said title change.
Okay, we should know.
All right. And they were basically MGB moments of things that we were unsure about. Is that why that was there?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. So unless you listen to MGB, that won't mean anything at all. All right. My first unsure moment is Sarah Logan okay? Now, I'm not talking about that she'd just been fired because I wrote this down before that point. That looked really painful. And a lot of people on Twitter are equally unsure. Like, she actually break her arm? It looked really bad.
That was them writing off there.
Okay, he always has to win at everything so he can get two interrupts on my one interrupt. From Wrestling Inc. on April 11th, 2020. WWE going back to filming live events. There will still be no crowds there. I don't know. I'm unsure about it. The comment section on AEW Dark. AEW Dark match was Billy Gunn versus Sean Spears, who you talked about in quite a bit of detail last week. But we'll move on from that. Now, somebody suggested in the comments that they actually had the Bullet Club. They had the Gun Club, G-U-N-N. Not bad. I'm okay with that. Somebody actually suggested it would be better if when he wrestles by himself, I think it's Austin, that he should be referred to as Son of a Gun. It's like, I like that. Somebody said, though, he actually had that on his trunks on AEW Dark on his debut. But now they went back to Gun Club. Now, I'm unsure as to why they did that. To me, Son of a Gun sounds way better than Gun Club. Anyway, something I was unsure about. Oh, am I going to regret this one? All right, I'm going to go with it anyway. Salvador on Facebook. WWE has announced that El Hijo de Fantasma will compete in a tournament for Cruiserweight Championship. That's right, El Hijo de Fantasma. He lost his mask last year against LA Park and soon joined WWE. He had matches with his unmasked persona, but now WWE wants him to wear his signature mask again. This has created some controversy amongst his Mexican fans because in Mexico, if you lose your mask, you can't wear it again only if 5 years have passed and you must take it off during your match. What do you think about this, Matt? Some people were very unsure about this. Not sure if you saw that story or not.
I did not, but I can answer it quite simply by saying Rey Mysterio. And what do you think?
All right, so not a problem then after all.
Rey Mysterio unmasked in 99 in WCW, and when he came to WWE in 2002, which is only 3 years later, Vince had him put it back on again. Rey Mysterio had the same sort of backlash in Mexico from it. It died down fairly quickly. Let's face it, Rey Mysterio kind of has had enough success. I'm not saying Phantasm is going to have the same success, but could happen. And let's face it, masks equal merchandise.
Very impressive math skills there. I've got one very short one. This is from Kerry Awful from March 28th. I know this goes back a little bit. Hey, quote this tweet with some of your more ridiculous mundane interactions in wrestling. Once Sir Mo hit me up on Facebook to find out if a leather shop was still in my hometown. I told him I had no idea, but he could Google it. I never talked to him before or after. Another one. At a Ring of Honor show in Hartford, I took a piss and Kevin Steen was in the urinal next to me. We just nodded at each other. And last one. I once walked into a 7-Eleven and CM Punk was buying a Diet Pepsi. So that was cool. I'm not sure if that's a good cop moment, a bad cop moment. Like he said, he asked for mundane. I was kind of interested by them, but I don't know. I'm not sure where that fits in, but I was entertained reading them for the few minutes that it took.
And I can't argue, Graham. That's actually kind of fun, like that. I've seen that talking before. We've done it on a website you and me are part of, Graham. Monday interactions with soccer players, as you were saying, in America. Some really boring ones sometimes. New Yvonne James Milner. So that's kind of fun. Bad.
Alright, you won the poll, so it was only for bragging rights, except for, I guess it's not just bragging rights, because you get to do the open agenda as well.
Graham, I am going to ask you, Space Oddity by David Bowie.
Okay.
Are you aware of the song?
Am I aware of the song? I love the song. I listened to Bowie when I was in college.
Okay. You are now showing your age, unfortunately.
It was when the greatest hits came out. It wasn't the original release of the song. That song came out, they played that on the moon landings. I'm not that old.
Well, I believe it starts Ground Control to Major Tom, yes?
Very good.
Well, I'm going to play off that a little bit. Really bad peg, I'm sorry. Ground Control to Captain Tom. And this, I need to say, this is something quite personal for me, actually. For those of you who aren't unaware, I am a chef in the NHS in England, which is the National Health Service. We are on the front line fighting the coronavirus at the moment, unfortunately. And every Thursday, we've been getting people come out at 8 o'clock local time to clap for us and all the key workers out there. Every one of my family is a key worker, and it's been very lovely to see all of that. Graham's been doing it himself, no doubt, at the same sort of time over in Virginia. It's been fantastic to see the support we've been getting. This one, though, is out of this world. A 99-year-old Army veteran called Tom Moore was aiming to raise £1,000 for the National Health Service by completing 100 laps of his garden by Thursday. He started on Monday. He's going to do 10 laps at a time, and he's going to try £1,000. At time of recording, which is the Wednesday, and I have to quickly go to the Just Giving page. We would include the Just Giving link in the description for this, by the way. The current total stands at... Jesus Christ, it's gone up again since I've looked. £9,476,089.31. I last looked, it was £7.2 million. It's gone up to £9.4 million.
Wow.
And when he got to five this morning, so that's got up 4 million today. He got to 5 million this morning. They actually had him on a live web chat with one of the BBC news reporters in the studio, and he looked so happy. And I tell you what, gee whiz, my heart just goes out to that. Money is going to make such a difference to some people who are struggling in National Health Service right now. It's going to help pay for stuff here and there. I'm not saying NHS is a charity that people should be doing on a regular basis sort of thing. But right now, that's what money is very, very helpful to people who need it. And, I mean, I don't know what else to say on that one. Thank you, Captain Tom. Thank you for doing that. And thank you to everybody who donated. And if you've got the time or if you've got the chance to, the link will be in the description, do go and add to it. And even if you can't add to it, just share it. Just share it. Make it even wider. An 8-year-old girl is actually wants to do cards because Friday, I believe it's his 100th birthday. I believe it's actually on Friday. On the 30th of April. On the 30th of April. A little girl called Regan Davis is trying to make a fat 1,500 virtual cards for him. Use the hashtag make a card for Tom. I've got a funny feeling there's going to be more than 1,500 of them. The man deserves our respect. He deserves our thanks. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Graham will agree with me applauding that man.
I got a real bad cop moment right now. How big is his garden? I know that's totally unimportant, really, having raised $9.5 million, but...
I have the figures here, Graham.
Oh, okay.
The 25-meter loop.
Okay.
So that's 82 feet for people who don't speak in English. So that's, for a 99-year-old who's using a Zimmer frame, that's impressive.
All right, okay. I was trying to, you know, I'm a mathematician, I'm a numbers person, so I did want to know how much he raised, obviously, but I was trying to conceptualize the size of the garden too.
So if that's 100, if that's 100 of those laps, how many meters have you done, Graham?
When you say 25 loop, is the whole loop's 25 or
25 each of the meter loop of the garden? Yeah.
And you said he did 100 laps.
Yeah.
2,500 meters. 2,400 meters would be a mile and a half, so a little bit more than a mile and a half. But like you said, this is a 99-year-old well on a Zimmer frame.
Applause. Well done, sir.
Good.
Okay, let's move on to our last segment so I can get out of here and go and get some medicine for my throbbing head from my meetings earlier. It's been dulled slightly. Would you like to go first or second this week?
I'll go second, please, Graham.
Okay.
Your devil's advocate is as follows. Matt watching matches from years ago shows he has his finger on the pulse of the wrestling industry.
Well, you've always done that. Of course, we know about history. You learn from the things that happened previously. So by learning about the past, you're also learning about the present as well. So that makes perfect sense. You go back and look at that. There's no current wrestling really going on anyway right now. So why wouldn't you go back and look at the classic era? We know that you appeared on a quiz this week where it was your specialist topic. So it would make sense you would study for that as well.
Time. Nice plug, Graham. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we can give any spoilers at this point, but I'm sure you can mention where you could find that podcast if anyone was interested.
You can find it by searching for Quiztastic 4, I'm in Heat 2. It came out on the 10th of April.
And do not search for my appearance from season 2. It was very embarrassing. I got all the American geography questions wrong. I had a total panic. But I did really well on my specialist subject of Red Sox baseball.
Ironically, if he hadn't actually said he was on it, they wouldn't actually know to search for it. Now they will search out a spike, Graham.
No one's going to look. No one's going to go find it.
Mags, listen to me now. Share it immediately. Right. Okay, Graham.
All right. Well, one thing I can promise you is that your devil's advocate is a lot shorter than the second one that I gave to you right after we kind of finished. I was like, leave the tape running. To me, that was a classic devil's advocate. This one is a little bit shorter, but I also want you to defend a statement made by a celebrity. Okay. Now, last week, the celebrity was obviously somebody from wrestling. You might have actually already heard this possibly already. Your quote this week is from former Blackburn striker Chris Sutton. All right. It says, just because Drew McIntyre, you model yourself on Robbie Savage's big mouth, small brain, long hair, fake tan. Some would argue that Robbie's career high Worthington Cup is a greater achievement than your WWE win. End quote. I would like you to defend that, please.
I refuse to defend that statement, Graham, out of pure honesty. I'm going to do 20 seconds of it anyway, because Chris Sutton is the biggest waste of space and broadcasting air I've ever heard in my life. Chris Sutton's opinion is always controversial, it is always irrelevant, and above all things else, it's complete and utter rubbish. Robbie Savage, I've spoken to at length on the air, and he's an
applicant. If we were doing a show called Just a Minute right now, I would have buzzed in on like 2 seconds for deviation. You didn't answer it one little bit. You chose to make up your own. I didn't say defend the fact that Chris Sutton is an utter whatever word you want to use, but anyway. Now, I will say that Drew McIntyre fired back a promo on this as well, which you can find if you go to Drew McIntyre on Twitter. He doesn't post that frequently. You'll find it pretty quickly. The highlights from it are you're just a poor man's Robbie Savage, and 11 minutes against Cameroon. Oh, well done. You made it. I think that's his entirety of his England career.
As a culture boy, let me just say, Norwich, that's what people remember you from. Not Blackburn, not Chelsea, or Celtic, Norwich. And you played centre half. Yeah, great career, mate.
He did win a Premier League title with Blackburn, so I thought it deserved mentioning.
Jimmy Traore had a Champions League winners medal. Let's not forget that.
No, I know. I think Chris Sutton also was the British transfer record holder at a certain point in time as well. So I think he probably does deserve a bit more of a mention.
So was Andy Carroll, Graham. So there's been some bad people having some really good records at some point. Chris Sutton's irrelevant. Oh, I hate him so much. I hate Chris Sutton so much.
I think Drew McIntyre does as well.
Let me say, I'm very happy to back the fellow laddie on that one, definitely. Right, okay. Apart from myself and Graham, thank you very much for listening. Hope for next week it won't be quite so down depressing. We love you all. Wash your hands. Keep safe. We're out of here.
Boom.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod. At incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/